Well, this is Monitor. I'm your host, Barry Nelson. Author A.E. Hutchner talks about Ernest Hemingway 3 minutes from now. First, however, we'll take a work break. Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass play the music for it, a new number called The Work Song. But the way they play it sounds more like fun. Morant for the Bell System, and I'll admit, I flip over the ragtime tunes of the turn of the century. I mean, where else but 1903 could you find a tune like this? Ah, Bedelia, I want to steal ya. Bedelia, I love you so. Ah, Bedelia, Elia, Elia, I made up my mind to steal ya, steal ya, steal ya, Bedelia, dear. 1903, a great year to visit, but who'd want to live there? Not me. I like old songs and modern conveniences, like long distance. When I'm on the road, I use it often, especially in the summertime. Seems nowadays everybody's on the go in the summertime, and long distance is great for keeping in touch. Great for reservations, too, or for calling friends and relatives you want to visit along the way. It's a thoughtful thing to do. Oh, one other use for long distance. The big day comes, and you leave at the crack of dawn. 200 miles down the road, you stop, call your neighbors, and ask him to let the cat out.
High on a list of bestsellers right now is a biography of Ernest Hemingway. As a writer, Hemingway earned a lasting place with his novels, short stories, and essays, and as a character, he was equally famous. A.E. Hotchner is one of those who remembers him fondly as Papa Hemingway, and that's what he titled his biography. Monitor reporter Betty Grobley interviewed A.E. Hotchner about the superstitions held by Hemingway.
Hutch, you've discussed Hemingway's feelings about luck and superstition. Would you describe what you mean?
It was a big element in his life, always vital to his sense of well-being. He told me once that during the war, he flew a lot of missions with the RAF as a correspondent for Colliers. He was reporting it. And he was in his London hotel room. The car was waiting downstairs to take him out to the airfield. He was going off with a group of RAF fighter bombers on a mission and to report it. His pants and jacket came back from being pressed, and he found that his lucky piece, which was a red stone, was missing. Frantically called down, and they couldn't find it. Probably thrown out. Somebody found it in his pants pocket. And he was in a state of sweated concern. The housemaid, the floor maid, was in the room. And he said, quick, give me something and wish me luck on it. Well, the only thing, she had nothing in her uniform pockets. The only thing that was there was the cork from a bottle of champagne from the night before. There'd been a little party in the room. So she picked that up and she said, "How's this?" He said, "That's marvelous. Wish me luck." He stuck it in his pocket. He went off on the mission. Every plane on that mission got shot up but his. Now, Ernest swears that this has to do with the fact that he had his lucky piece in his pocket. Now, a lot of people say, now, how can an intelligent man like that knock on wood and go through all of the rituals?
He did do that, too.
All the time. He said, nobody can prove that it isn't a factor. And as long as it may be, why shouldn't I have it working for me? And who can ever fault him on that point of view?
What about salt and all the other things one hears
Everything.
About?
Salt was always dispensed over the shoulder if dropped. Ernest had rituals.
What about his belt? Was that also a luck symbol?
Yes.
His belt that he wore?
What you're referring to, Betty, is a belt that he took off of a dead Nazi toward the end of the war, and it had got mittens on it. And this was his good luck belt. And he wore it, wouldn't fit through any of his pants loops because, you know, it's very wide, it's for a German uniform, but he'd wear it slung around the outside of the loops on his pants. He would wear it around his bathrobe. He'd wear it all the time. It was some kind of a talisman for him. And, of course, Friday the 13th was an event of terrible anxiety because none of these things work on Friday the 13th,
mm-hmm.
you see. And he would see omens in a lot of things, and it's incredible how right he was very often.
For instance...
Well, that day that we were going to the races, when there was all this money riding, and now the waiters of the Ritz and the barmen, they'd all come down on it, and his favorite, one of his favorite friends, Black Priest, who was a priest from Cuba, had come through on his way to invest his life savings in a ceramics factory in the north, and he had decided to put half of his money on this horse. So as we are going out to the racetrack, and we're in the Bois de Boulogne, we're going to the racetrack in the big park in Paris, there came by us a horse, an old horse, pulling a carriage. And as we stopped, the horse stopped next to us. And he looked up, and on the horse's bridle was his name, was second after it. It was something the second. He said, "There's an omen." He said, "Hey, we're going to win today." Now, he found that to be an omen because there was the Roman numeral 2 as it was after our horse's name.
The name of the book, Papa Hemingway. The name of my guest, A.E. Hotchner, the author. And this is Betty Grobley in Washington for Monitor.
I dare say Hemingway made more money as a writer than he ever did at the races, in spite of any lucky omens. Say, let's join the crowd now.
Hey, it's showtime.
Oh, good.
A year ago, at the Mai Kai restaurant, only Lundy Nelson, the MC, smoked L&M's. Now Ellen, the waitress, has come over. When you've got today's best taste in smoking, people find out.
Come on over for the taste of it. Come on over to the L&M side.
When you've got today's best taste in smoking, people find out.
Well, the back porch majority just took a poll and reached a decision on what to sing in just 1 minute here on the Monitor Beacon. Barry Nelson here with Monitor, giving way to the back porch majority and Brother John.
There's a smile on your face, Brother John. There's a smile on your face, Brother John.
When there's a smile on your face, then the world's a happy place.
Won't you smile for us all, Brother John? When you wear a loony crown, Brother John. And when you wear a loony crown, Brother John.
When you wear a loony crown, then the world comes tumbling down.
Won't you smile for us all, Brother John? Brother John, Brother John.
When you wear a loony crown,
the world comes tumbling down.
When there's a smile upon your face,
then the world's a happy place. Won't you smile for us all, Brother John?
There's a tear in your eye, Brother John.
And there's a tear in your eye, Brother John.
When there's a tear in your eye, we know the reason why.
And you cry for us all, Brother John. When there's love in your heart, Brother John. And when there's love in your heart, Brother John.
When your heart is full of love, it's a blessing from above.
There's a love for us all, Brother John. Brother John, Brother John.
When your heart is full of love,
it's a blessing from above.
When there's a tear in your eye,
we know the reason why.
When you wear a gloomy frown,
then the world comes tumbling down.
When there's a smile upon your face,
then the world's a happy place. Won't you smile for us all, Brother John?
There's a prayer on your lips, Brother John. And there's a prayer on your lips, Brother John.
There's a hope in your prayer and a joyous love to share. Won't you pray
for us all, Brother John? Brother John, Brother John.
When your heart is full of love,
'tis a blessing from above.
When there's a tear in your eye,
we know the reason why.
When you wear a gloomy frown,
then the world comes tumbling down.
When there's a smile upon your face,
then the world's a happy place. Won't you smile for us all, Brother John? Won't you smile for us all, Brother John?
Will anyone besides you really care about the look and feel of your next new car? Oldsmobile does. Oldsmobile cares enough to bring you Toronado-inspired styling in every Olds for 1966. And Oldsmobile also cares enough to bring you a car that you can drive with confidence. So see the man who has everything for you, your nearest Olds dealer. Test drive a 66 Oldsmobile. From people who care, for people who care.
Some solicited testimonials now about those funny little grocery stores.
Pretty soon after I started shopping over at my 7-Eleven store, I came up with this thing that I think you might be interested in. Now, you notice here in my hand, I'm holding this apple. Now, watch, I'm going to drop it. You see, it falls to the ground. I call it gravity. I sure am excited about it.
I believe my neighborhood 7-Eleven store is responsible for this one. During a recent thunderstorm, I put this kite up there in the sky, had a wire attached to this fruit jar, and in the fruit jar I had a key. Well, when the lightning would strike the wire, it'd travel down into the fruit jar and would glow and dance about around the key. Frankly, I think I've got something here. Why, no telling what it might do for us in the world of tomorrow. Could be that it'll light our homes, even heat them, run motors. Possibilities unlimited.
It sounds great. What are you going to call it?
Gas.
7-Eleven is a great invention, too.
Jack Jones will now prove it's possible to dream the impossible dream, at least in song.
To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to right the unrightable wrong, to be better far than you are.
Stars. parade without a band. And it's not a cookout without...
Kraft, jet-popped marshmallows, the toast, toast, toastiness kind.
Kraft marshmallows are America's favorite kind because they're jet-puffed, the outside soft as the inside, so they toast up golden brown, toast up the best.
Kraft, jet-popped marshmallows, the toast, toast, toastiness kind.
Here's Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports.
If you ask a hitter who's in a slump what he thinks is wrong, you'll get a lot of answers, none of them very good. And that figures because if he knew what was wrong, then he wouldn't be in a slump for very long. When you ask a hitter who's going good to explain it, somewhere along the way, you can be sure of hearing one phrase. I'm seeing the ball real good up there. Let a good hitter suddenly go real bad, or a guy who always meets the ball starts striking out a lot, and you can be sure that it won't be long before the ball club begins thinking about an eye examination. Not too long ago, it happened to New York Mets infielder Eddie Brasseau. Not long after that, Eddie hit two home runs in one game against the Cincinnati Reds. And after the game, he talked about his new glasses. He said, I was having trouble reading the signs that the people bring to the ballpark, and the numbers on the scoreboard were blurred. I could see the ball all right, but I couldn't see the seams. I couldn't figure it out. But the ball club could. They said, wear the glasses. And I said, you're the boss. Brasseau went on to say that he had tried glasses before when he was with the Red Sox. He said, they were always steaming up and the rims hurt during batting practice and I couldn't adjust. But when the front office says to wear them, you learn to adjust. Bob Veal of the Pittsburgh Pirates, one of the real hard throwers in the game, broke a pair of glasses while he was pitching one night and sent to the clubhouse for another pair. He tried on the new pair and said, they're the wrong prescription. I see two hitters up there and I don't know which one I'm supposed to get out. One of the great lines in baseball about glasses came, naturally enough, from an umpire. The late Larry Goetz sat down one evening with his boss, National League president Warren Giles, and Dodgers general manager Buzzy Bavezzi. When the waiter brought the menus, Goetz reached into his pocket and took out his glasses. And Bavezzi grinned and said, you've got a lot of guts putting on glasses in front of your boss. And Goetz just turned to Buzzy and said, I've got a lot of guts or I wouldn't be in this business. When Lefty Gomez was pitching for the Yankees, the idea once came up that he might need glasses. It was pointed out to Lefty that if he wore them, everything would look bigger. Gomez just shook his head and said, no thanks. Some things look big enough already. I don't think I could stand it if Jimmy Fox looked any bigger to me than he does now. One of my favorite stories about eyeglasses concerns Sam Jethro, the old Braves outfielder. Sam was thin as a rail, but he could hit a baseball about as hard as anybody. And when it came to running, he could really fly. But Sam started to have some trouble with line drives in center field, and after a few of them sailed over his head, the ball club decided he needed glasses. Shortly after that, the Brooklyn Dodgers came to Boston, and while the Braves were taking batting practice, Pee Wee Reese walked up to the cage and started to needle Jethro. Reese said, take him off, Sam. We know you. And Jethro stepped out of the batter's box, turned around, and just stared at Reese for a minute without saying a word. And finally reached up and pushed the glasses down the end of his nose, looked over the top of them, and said, why, Pee-wee, it's you. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports.
Let me adjust my glasses here. Oh, yes, Joe Garagiola is a regular around here on weekends, and he's also heard Monday through Friday on NBC Radio. And may I have the next question, please?
How would you like to live like a king? Then go to any bank that sells Bank of America Traveler's Checks. Enter the Castle in Spain sweepstakes. 316 exciting prizes. The grand prize is 2 weeks in a Spanish castle, including meals, a castle staff, and use of a car. Plus, first-class airfare for two and $1,000 in Bank of America Traveler's Checks. Money only you can spend. Get details, rules, and free entry blanks at any bank where Bank of America Traveler's Checks are sold. No purchase is required to enter, although every purchase is an automatic entry. Bank of America's Castle in Spain sweepstakes ends October 15th. Enter now.
Void where prohibited by law. Jankowski's orchestra playing Flowers for a Princess. Monitor spanning the continent on NBC Radio. All of South Florida keeps in touch with WIOD, Miami. And we salute WIOD and all the other NBC stations here and give them a chance to speak up. This is Barry Nelson back shortly.
At home or on the road, stay with Monitor on the NBC Radio Network.